Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about developing a spiritual GPS or an internal compass to guide us.
Well, you know, a compass was something that made sense to me, you know, when I was a younger man. But GPS, you know, a lot of people get what that is. And, you know, basically you come up with the same, you know,
the same end result. The same place, yep.
Jesus magnified the idea, the simple concept of having a compass, and it found its roots in the laws of Moses. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, few men and women ever come to this place of surrender of self where they are single-mindedly devoted to that compass, but that is the compass of the law. Jesus restated that compass and said, this is the clear picture of what that means.
That surrender of self, that just goes against me. It goes against my grain. But I will say, I love how the Message breaks these down. It says, love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is the second, love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these. So there's not a lot of wiggle room in that for like giving all of our energy to our jobs and leaving just a little left for our families or maybe God. There's just no room for that kind of thinking. And it's really hard to think of surrendering all my energy to God or all my passion because you kind of go, yeah, but what about my other interests? I find myself going, yeah, but.
I'll make some room, but wait a minute, you want it all?
Yes. And I know that when I do that, my passions are fulfilled. He gives me time to do those things, or he enables those things just to be a part of my life if I'm not pursuing them in the wrong way.
Well, a pure heart has less to do with our performance or our ability to clean up our act. It's more about intention of heart. A true pure heart is filled with God-planted motivation because we know that apart from His intervention, we're lost. And everything in our nature kicks against the intention to find that kind of a pure heart.
Yeah, the idea of intention is really important, I think, or we live in deep pools of despair and shame because we never feel like we measure up.
Yeah, or we're covering that up.
Yeah, the verse telling us to use all our being to love God and others put up against what my life looks like would be desperately discouraging. I think it's interesting that God told Samuel, looks aren't everything. Don't be impressed with looks and stature. I've already eliminated him. God judges persons differently than humans do.
Saul was like a pretty boy.
Yeah. Men and women look at the face. God looks into the heart, it says in 1 Samuel.
Ephesians 5 magnifies this really well for me from a magnifying glass perspective. When it talks about a pure heart. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Yeah, I think we're really dependent on the Spirit's directing to learn how to walk wisely. And learning how to hear the voice of God takes practice. I know that I've had directions, and I put quotes around that, that I've ignored. And then have recalled later that little voice that I realized, oh, if I'd followed that. But I didn't recognize it at the time as being the Spirit. And in Isaiah, I love this. Isaiah 30, 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. In fact, the Message says it like this. Your teacher will be right there, local and on the job, urging you on whenever you wander left or right and saying, this is the road. This is the right road. Walk down this one.
In my hunting gear, I keep an old brass compass that my grandfather carried long before I was born. And in northern Wisconsin, where I grew up, we hunt large sections of land used for paper pulp production. And there's mile after mile of sameness. I mean, it's just, you have to just be in the middle of it to get the sense for it. Without taking frequent compass readings, you can literally get turned around, especially if the sun is obscured by the clouds. So within 100 steps, you can make a turn that will cost you hours to find your way back to a main road if you don't return to the compass. So you can walk in circles despite your intention to find a straight path. In fact, I can remember times when I would go, I'd pop out the compass and I'd go, I can't believe it. How in 25 steps can I get so turned to a different direction? And this is why men and women need a spiritual compass. When we've connected with God with a pure, motivated heart that wishes to encounter Him and hear His voice, well, the want to issue is solved, and that's what a compass can bring you.
Yeah, so I have a question. Are you speaking from personal experience when you talk about getting lost in the woods? Has that actually happened to you?
Yes. Yes, but you know, because they drilled it into me that you don't do this without your compass, I would reach in my pocket. I'd think, well, I can get by without the compass. And the first couple
until you couldn't.
Well, the first couple of times, you know, I would go, and then I'd finally, oh, I'm going to check the compass because I don't see anything that I recognize. And I would pull out the compass, and I would literally be going the opposite direction. And I just that was kind of drilled into me. So yes, I did experience it.
Was it scary?
Well, it is kind of frightening. Uh-huh. I mean, I had a gun, but.
Okay, I have another question then. Since you've been a believer, I mean, I know you felt that lost before you became a believer, but since you've been a believer, have you had times that you've felt pretty lost in your spiritual life?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's why it's such a good analogy for me, because the Word of God really has been my anchor, to my go-to, and I go back to it, and it resets me in the right direction when I feel lost. But, you know, when you're lost, a lot of times, you just continue with your own devices. You start going, no, I know I've seen this tree before.
So how do you think you got that off?
Well, I think it's just the nature of the wilderness. I mean, you know, when you see sameness and all the trees start looking the same to you and you're on
a... I mean in your spiritual life. How did you get that lost?
Well, I'm making the spiritual analogy because that's pretty much what life is like.
There's a lot of mundaneness.
Well, we're living it out in the middle of just punching out a life that, you know, it's not like there's anything super crazy unique to our lives. People have been living in the same environment for a long time. So one of the difficulties of doing that is dealing with the sameness of everything around us.
Yeah, and surrendering.
Well,
we always come back to that.
I love this because you talk about how has that gotten put back together for me from a spiritual perspective. And the Word of God does that for me. It's a supernatural book that has all of these supernatural stories. And this is Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And there it is. There's the compass. There's the reset. There's the intentionality. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's been there. He's already blazed the way, and I'm following Him through the wilderness, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
So going back to the first sentence in there, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, do you really think those pioneers who blazed the way, do you think all those veterans are really cheering us on? I mean, like, do they watch us?
Well,
what does that mean?
Something motivates pioneers. I don't know what it is. I read some of the stories about the pioneering in America and the things that people went through. But there's something inside that kind of pushes those people on. So I don't know how connected that is with heaven and people who have gone before us. I don't know the answer to that. But I do know how it relates to our relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus, because He's the author and perfecter of our faith, He has invited us to follow Him to the same destination that He headed to and that He has already arrived at.
Right.
Okay, so as travelers with a compass, we're free to pick up our shield of faith and our spirit sword. Rather than saying sword of the spirit, I like to say spirit sword.
I picked it up.
For the honor of the captain of our souls. This is kind of how I look at the whole deal, you know. I've got a captain, and I've been in the military, so I get that a little bit. And you pretty much, you follow your captain, you follow your captain's orders because he's watching out for everybody. Our spirituality flows from Jesus to us and then to others. This is how kingdom spirituality works. We're not becoming better Christians. We're learning how to more fully allow God to live through us. He is our King, and we are sons and daughters in His kingdom. It's no longer a matter of mere performance, but God's life alive in us, around us, and through us.
You know, while we have a compass to keep us going in the right direction with the intention of our hearts, We also have an enemy who is always looking to point us in the wrong direction. And then first he points and says, look over there. And then it's like he's on the other end of the trail saying, this way, come this way.
Yes.
And he looks for any weakness. And he's always encouraging us toward envy and anger and shame and discouragement. It just seems like he's always looking to ruin our marriages, our families, and our friendships. So it seems to me that a compass isn't really a luxury.
No, it's a necessity.
It's an absolute necessity.
This, as far as wrapping this conversation up today about having our internal compass be mm-hmm. intact, I was looking at some passages, and this one in Galatians, and you quote the Message on a consistent basis. And I'm always looking at the Message and comparing it to my New American Standard.
Because sometimes you don't like it at all.
No, but sometimes I love it uh-huh. because I go, yes, he has absolutely captured the essence mm-hmm. of the Greek words that are written here. And this is out of Galatians 2. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please uh-huh. God, but it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how, and it enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It no longer is important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I'm no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see in me or see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
I just think, what an amazing thing to be able to say that my ego is no longer central.
Yeah,
you know, I have times when I believe that, I'm living it, and then, you know, it's just hard to live there all the time.
Well, and your ego is the one that's telling you don't need a compass.
Yeah.
And it's also telling you don't believe the compass. You
True.
Know, because
mm-hmm.
you're not really off. If you just keep moving in the direction you're going to get where you need to go. And having been lost in mm-hmm. the woods for upwards of 30 minutes at one point, and you asked me if it had ever happened uh-huh. to me before, because I had forgotten my compass.
Oh.
It was truly frightening.
Uh-huh.
And so when you live in a frightening environment and you're concerned about getting back to home base, you know, a compass is incredibly important.
That verse you just read, too, it says that it's not important anymore how I'm viewed as long as I'm with God. I'm no longer, well, just that by itself first, like just really to be able to put aside what people think of me. That,
yes.
Wow. You know, that might be easier for men than women. I don't really think it is. I just think it looks different.
Well, we talked a little bit earlier about being travelers with a compass. We're free to pick up our shield of faith and our spirit sword. So it's not just a matter of going at it and being on the right track, but there are dangers mm-hmm. that are on the journey. And we have been given this the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, you know, to carry us through. And to I kind of get a picture of slashing my way, you know, through the jungle or mm-hmm. whatever. The sword of the Spirit is God's active presence with me. And then you got that shield of faith, which Paul says extinguishes the fiery darts of the mm-hmm. evil one. So it's not just a matter of knowing where you're going. It's fighting the battle as you're going there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that it's alive. The sword of the Spirit, it's alive. The word is alive. That the first time that really made sense to me, you realize it's alive for this particular moment in my life to speak exactly the right thing at the right time.
Well, thanks, Bernadette. This has been fun today.
Yeah.
You're awesome. Have I told you that?
You have.
In the last couple of shows.
You can always tell me more. So are you.
Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forestream.com and click the radio button.
Together we are finding hope at fourthstream.com.